This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 1st, episode 1441, brought to us by auditors, listeners like you. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
And thanks, everybody, for joining us. Oh, my gosh, Glenn, I am birthday party hungover.
You sound tired.
Let's be honest. I'm sorry.
Drinking birthday parties. Oh, wait, it was for a three-year-old.
Yeah, I know, but there's still wild drinking that goes on. People came at my party started at 1:30. Mine, Lucas's party started at 1:30, but people came at noon and didn't leave till 8.
Wow, that's a long birthday party.
Yeah, and then one group was like, "Hey, our friend needs to go home. Can we come back?" I said, "No, no, you cannot come back."
That's funny. And I did see some more naked pictures of Lucas. So you need to teach Lucas that at 3, he needs to start leaving his clothes on at his birthday party.
That's going to be our 3-year-old goal, is to keep him dressed.
Dressed.
Like he stood up in the pool and he climbs out of the pool and he pulls his pants down and starts peeing into the pool.
Oh, like, no. This is why, like, I don't do pools, public pools.
Everybody's like, No, go over to that. So he runs over to the wall and starts peeing on the wall, which is when I took the picture. Because you have to photograph.
This is why I'll never go in your pool. Ever.
Hey, he won't pee in the pool. The good news is you'll know, because he'll leave the pool and then pee into the pool. That's my child.
Like, that pool looks a lot like a giant sized toilet. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, water in there.
You can't fault him for it, really. He didn't know. I mean, that's like how he rolls. So, but it was great. We had a great time. But I got to vent for a second.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just invited the boarders and students that I have that are here all the time. And then our neighbors, just the people that live right around us. And I get a text message from another Air Force wife saying, "I thought our kids were friends. I can't believe you didn't invite us to the party. I guess I didn't know about it." Da, da, da. And I get this like uber passive aggressive text message from another wife. What is wrong with people? And so, of course, what do? I call her. I'm like, you want to text me some passive aggressive thing? I call her. She answers the phone. "Hey," I say, "why on earth are you sending me passive aggressive text messages about my kid's birthday party?" "Well, I wanted to make sure we didn't miss it and we didn't, you know, miss an invite. I've been busy. I was like, "Right. Okay. Yeah. Do you know my kid hasn't seen your kid in 3 months?" Like, I was so frustrated. And I just, and Chad was like, "Well, that's what you get for posting everything on Facebook." I'm like, "I make memory books out of the pictures I post on Facebook. That's why I post pictures on Facebook. It's so I have those in a collection and I can delete them from my phone. Like, that's the reason I do that." Anyway, I was pretty irritated. So
don't piss a woman off who's about to have a 3-year-old birthday party.
Oh my gosh. Or still has people at their house after having a 3-year-old birthday party. Oh my gosh. I was so frustrated. So anyway, we had a great time. I got everybody kites. We were flying kites in the wind, and it was just really, really fun. And Chad was here, and he's gone already. So
did all the kites get stuck in the trees?
Okay, here's a clue about a 3-year-old holding a kite is they eventually get tired and they just let go.
They just they walk and, away.
And I didn't realize that kites had flown into the north pasture of mine until I turned the horses out and I hear massive galloping. And my north pasture is done in electric fence. And so there is, it's not turned on, but they don't know that. There's kites everywhere and horses galloping everywhere. So I have to go out there and fish kites out of like electrified fence to get everything, to get the horses to stop galloping. It was crazy. I didn't realize that like people were just letting them go. Okay, I'm done. Bye. Let it go and walk off. I didn't realize that. So,
I don't think we ever had a kite as a kid. With four boys, we had a lot of kites. I don't think we ever had a kite as a kid that didn't get stuck in power lines or a tree.
Oh my gosh. Chad literally got out the ladder when we were all flying kites and just climbed up on the roof. And he just kept fishing them off the roof because they were all... And I realized, too, that I grew up in Georgia. And the only time we ever flew a kite was when we were, like, sprinting down the road holding it.
Yes.
So to actually stand there and hold a kite, I realized that it was the first time I'd ever flown a kite was yesterday. So it was kind of fun. And I liked it until it involved galloping horses, terrified animals. So... I think Mary Kitzmiller needs to come to my house and get my horse's kite broke.
Kite broke? Yeah, that's a new thing. Show a new video for that.
If you could click or train my horses with kites, that'd be great. That'd Thanks, be great. Mary. Yeah.
Teach them how to fly the kites and we could have a YouTube. We could have a runaway video.
Yeah. Let's fly kites from horseback and video that. And then we'll go viral again.
There you go. There you go. Come on, Mary, head over to Arizona. It's too wet in Texas anyway.
I know. Come on over. Boy. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, we've got a lovely list of fun topics lined up, starting with Piper Clem of the Plaid Horse. And she's coming to us live from the Devon Horse Show, where apparently McLean Ward is still winning every single class. And then mid-show, the Haggard Horse Health Report explains roaring. And then it's Across the Pond for the Horse and Country Report with Victoria Spicer. And last but not least, expect headlines tomorrow morning touting a sudden spike in ER visits involving punctured feet, because today is National Go Barefoot Day. So please enjoy responsibly.
National Go Naked Day. That's what I'm
talking about.
Yeah,
Lucas is every day. National Go Naked
Day. That's every day for Lucas. Yes.
All right, let's do some daily winnies. Well, my daily winnie, I got a couple things to do here, so I'll just play them all in a row.
Oh, happy anniversary! Happy anniversary!
Happy birthday! Happy
I have a happy anniversary to our auditor, Mona Wheeler, and her husband. It's their anniversary today. Congratulations. And also a happy birthday to Ellie O'Brien in New Zealand. She's a friend of ours, and we'll be on the show here shortly because she trains their version of wild Mustangs down in New Zealand. So she wants to come on, Jamie, and talk to you about the differences in training Mustangs and their versions down there. So
perfect.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
I'll probably refer her mostly to Elisa Wallace, but we'll give it a try.
And then also want to congratulate Desiree Johnson, and she knows why. So I'm just going to give her a congratulations.
Her husband's amazing.
Yes. I don't know if we were allowed to announce it, so we'll just have to leave it at that. All right, your turn.
Well, in the vein of congratulating listeners, I'd like to send a big thank you out to, you know, he's not my favorite person, Jerry Johnson, our listener who constantly harasses me in pretty public forums.
You know,
like
it's funny, Jerry. It's funny, Jerry. Let's just explain to Jerry about this before we go any further. Jerry, it's not that she dislikes you. It's just that ever since she started with the Horse Radio Network, but almost 6 years ago or whatever, she has had a male arch enemy. And her first male arch enemy was Alan Moorhead of the Western radio show.
It was his fault. He was a big jerk.
And then Alan left, and she needed a new male archenemy. And I'm just glad it's... By the way, Jerry, I'm just glad it's not me. So you get the title. You get the old male archenemy title. And actually, I don't think Jerry cares, and he's kind of proud of it. So
I think he is. Yes. But you know what? Every yin has its yang. And his
and
wife...
Alan called last week and said he misses you.
Oh, yeah, sure he did. every yin has his yang, and I would like to say that where Jerry may be the yang is his beautiful wife, and she has a company called Simply Peachy Crochet, Sewing, and Embroidery, and you can find that on Facebook. And I bought a wristlet for her from her because I needed a new place to keep my wallet and phone and all that stuff. And she made this beautiful horsey custom made wristlet for me, but she also threw in a birthday present for Lucas, and it's so stinking cute. And you can actually see it on her Facebook page as I was scrolling through it. So, anyway, thank you very, very much. You guys are awesome.
Very
but Jerry,
good.
Suck it. Just out there.
Well, we have a couple of things here. I'm going to do a rant before we get to our... Jennifer's going to get our first guest on here. But I have to do a rant. And this involves actually involves one of our listeners. I'm going to bring it up now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, she's on the right side of this. If you remember a long time ago, we had Tawny on, who was of Tawny's Ponies and Petting Farm. Out in Santa Monica, California, she did pony rides at the Santa Monica Farmers Market. And there was this animal rights wacko lady named Marcy who had it out for her, claiming that she wanted the animals gone from the farmers market. She claimed that she abused the animals, that the animals were malnourished, that they were abused, and just went after her with the most horrible stuff. Now, the Santa Monica people sent a crew out to check on the ponies and determined that there was not abuse, that the animals were fine, everything was good, but this Marcy woman would not let up. She was in the press, she was writing all this hateful stuff about Tawny and her ponies, and it was just a nightmare. Well, we had Tawny on back at that time. And the Santa Monica City Council, Tawny's contract was coming up for doing the pony rides there at the farmer's market. She'd been doing it for years. Well, the City Council decided they just didn't want the hassle, so they didn't renew her contract. Well, Tawny actually filed a defamation lawsuit against this animal rights wacko lady, Marcy. And it's been going on in court now for 2 years. And what happened, this is what's been happening in 2 years. This is the way our court system works. So she filed the lawsuit for defamation against the animal rights lady. And the judge said the lawsuit could go forward. Well, it hasn't even gone to trial yet. The judge said that the lawsuit could go forward. Well, the animal rights lady, Marcy, and her lawyer appealed the fact that that they don't think the lawsuit could go forward on First Amendment rights, that she basically could say anything she wanted to because it's freedom of speech. Well, it went up to all the way. This hasn't even gone to trial yet. It's just determining whether it can go to trial. So
my brain hurts.
Yeah, well, it goes to a 3-judge panel in California who tossed out the libel suit and said that the pony operator, Tawny, could not sue the other lady for defamation. Now, this is the court essentially said that she was free to tarnish Angels, the girl's name with the ponies. She was free to tarnish her in print and online because she believed that what she said was true. So if I say that my neighbor is a pedophile and I believe that is true, I can just go out and say whatever I want. That's what the court's saying here, is that if you believe what you say is true, then you can say anything you want. And because her goal was to change government policy. So the court said, yeah, we're going to throw this out. You can't sue her because she believed what she said was true, which is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Now,
and just this poor girl has been through enough. She already lost her business.
She lost her business. She's had to sell her ponies. She basically has had to, I don't know how she's funding this whole thing. Well, they're actually going to appeal to the California Supreme Court now and said they would all go all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States if they had to. So I don't know where she's getting the funding for all of that, if it's through donations or whatever. I asked her if she would come on the show this morning, and she said to her, she asked her attorney, and that her attorney said, until this is all done, she better not. So she turned us down, but said she would after this is all finished, and she appreciated our support, and she listens to the show. And I don't know how anybody can say that if you believe something to be true, you can't be sued for defamation. That means you could say anything you wanted to about anybody. Which is the whole.
I have so many things going through my head that I could say about you or Jerry that I'm just not.
Well, you can say them now because I can't sue you for defamation, apparently, according to California. It's just the most asinine thing. And the thing was that there was no legislation. So the argument that, you know, she was doing it to try and change legislation, there was no legislation, and it's only ever been used before if you're going after a public official, not some lady who operates a pony ride.
God, but crazy.
This is the bad thing about this is think about the consequences of this now, that this gives the animal rights activists, if this goes through and stands, this gives the animal rights activists. They can say anything they want to you, Jamie, to me, to anybody in the press about how we take care of our horses, and they can't get in trouble for it, even if it's outright lies because they believe it to be true. So This is why I'm harping on this, is because it's just going to end up being a nightmare. That's where the bad part of this, the slippery slope comes in, is then they're going to go after everybody with everything they've got.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, This is definitely a slippery slope, and this poor girl has been through so much just trying to earn a living.
But you don't think Pete is watching this case? Pete is watching this case very carefully.
Yeah.
Ooh, not tough. Good for us. Now, on a good note, I'll end in a positive. The mayor of New York's in so much hot water right now that the carriage thing has been dropped off like totally off the radar, because right now they're investigating him for campaign contribution fraud in about 20 different ways.
That guy ended up being crooked?
Yes. And a big surprise, the animal rights activists' large donations of millions of dollars are also under investigation.
No.
By the FBI, I think it's the FBI, the Attorney General's office, and several other city departments. He's got a little more to worry about than pony rides right now.
Man, what a mess. Yeah. What a mess.
Yeah. So there's the positive note anyway on that one. And the carriage drivers are feeling very vindicated right now in New York. So there's my, you got a happy story for us?
Yeah, here's the happy story. My child just woke up. So why don't you go ahead and take the next guest, and I'll be back.
Jennifer, do we have the next guest?
We sure do. Piper is here.
I don't see her on. Can you make Piper live? Because I can't see her on my call-in studio.
Sure.
I'm not showing her at all. She's just not appearing.
Good morning, Piper.
There we go.
Good morning. How are you?
Piper Clem is here. She is with the Plaid Horse, and she's giving us a live report from the Devon Horse Show in the suburbs of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Piper.
Hi. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you on the show with us this morning. Now, are you the editor of the Plaid Horse?
Yep, I'm the publisher and the editor.
Well, that's great. And it's been around, since the early 2000s, right?
Yep, this is our 13th anniversary issue, is our current issue. And then I purchased the magazine 2 years ago. So.
Well, congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you.
Is it exciting? Well, let's ask you. It's been 2 years now. Is it still exciting?
Every issue is exciting. Every day is exciting. We have so many new contributors and bring in so many new people into the sport, and the excitement of people writing their first article or seeing their photo in print for the first time is contagious every single issue.
Well, that's cool. And how cool is it for you probably didn't think 10 years ago you'd be owning your own magazine at this point. So that's very cool too.
Nope.
By the way, with the name of Piper Clem, you should be like a movie star. That is such a movie star name.
I'll take a radio star first.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll help you with that today. So now you're at the Devon Horse Show. This is the 120th annual Devon Horse Show and Country Fair, and it's one heck of a cool event. If you haven't had a chance to go there, put it on your bucket list, because it's just a really neat event. And I know today's Ladies' Day, and everybody shows up in great big hats. So tell us yep. what your experience has been at the Devon Horse Show.
Well, this year has been hot, hot, hot and humid. It's been 90 or above many of the days already, and pretty boiling, but it's still such an incredible horse show. There are so many iconic Devon treats and Devon food, and they have the tea sandwiches and the lemon drops and fudge, and there's a full fair on the horse show grounds, and so it gets a lot of spectators that ride the Ferris wheel and eat funnel cake, and it's just such a tradition. It's so exciting to see the stands packed for the hunters, the jumpers, you know, everything that goes on in the Dixon Oval and the Gold Ring has such an audience and such excitement. And it's really inspirational for how horse shows could be to really reach the public and make this a spectator sport.
Well, and one of the cool things about that show is one of the things we're always talking about in the media, and I don't know if you're going to the AHP conference this year, but one of the things we always talk about is how to get non-horse people interested in horsey sports. And I think the Devon Horse Show does that pretty well because of the fair and the festival atmosphere. Don't you think it brings people in who aren't horsey who get to check it out for the first time?
Absolutely. I actually grew up around here, and all of my friends at school growing up would come to Devon every night. It was a place to be seen and hang out with your friends, you know, for non-horsey people. And the shopping is absolutely incredible. I think a lot of people come here just to shop and just to experience the vendors and the incredible treasures. There's a lot of antiquing around here. It's really old, historic horse country. And so if you need to decorate your home with any horsey antiques, like, this is definitely the place to find it. And there's just so much going on in every facet, and it's all packed into a pretty small place. The horse show grounds is one of the smaller horse show facility grounds in the country, and so, like, just everywhere you walk, you're just bumping into different things to do and different excitement.
Yeah, take the Kentucky Horse Park and take a tiny itty bitty corner, and that's the Devon Horse Show. That's
yep.
But they've maintained a lot of the tradition of it too from 120 years ago. They used to, I assume they still have the coaching and all of the, they have a lot of hunter jumper stuff, but they also have every night they do special classes with carriages and yep. just all different kinds of stuff.
Yep, saddlebreds, carriages, and I think it's really good for different aspects of the sport to kind of come together and appreciate what each other does. And they've added a lot of young jumper classes, and the Gold Ring right now is a 5-year-old jumper class just finished. And so I think they're really trying to encourage a lot of collaboration across horse sports, which I wish more horse shows would do, because we all have so much to offer each other in the other disciplines. And I feel like there's not a lot of communication in the day-to-day show world.
I know that they had the coach horn competition last night, so you probably heard that from where you are. That's always the coaching and the coaching pleasure classes. Did you get to see the coaches come through?
I actually missed last night because it was a National Show Hunter Hall of Fame. They always do that during Devon at the Marion Cricket Club. And so they were inducting horses like Oscar and Gigi Valentine, and professionals like Jack Cowell and Elizabeth Salter and Leslie Howard and Cam Baker into the National Show Hunter Hall of Fame. And it was an incredible experience to hear their stories and talk about horsemanship over the decades and hear about all the wonderful people that they all have educated over the years and brought up in the sport. So I missed last night at the horse show, but for a very good reason.
Yeah, I'd say. And is that held every year during Devon? Is that when they do it?
Yep, it's held every year. Yep, every year during Devon.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And now this goes on actually through Sunday?
Yep. So Thursday will be the International Hunter Derby in the afternoon, and then the big Grand Prix at night, and then there continues to be The amateur hunters start on Friday and go through Saturday, and their open jumper classes through Saturday. And then on Sunday is the hunter breeding for the horses. So all the young horses will come and show on the line and create the next generation of horses for show over fences. So.
Well, if you're in the area, check it out. Head on over to the Dixon Oval. Their evening classes that where they put a big variety in start at 7 o'clock every night, and it's just between the atmosphere and the food. It's actually one horse show we can say has good food, right?
Oh, it's like incredible. Every day we have our Devon treat. There's so many days. We're here the entire horse show, the entire 10 days. And every day we have our Devon treat day, which is something different and something delicious.
And we can't say that about every horse show.
No.
We usually complain about the food at horse shows, but you don't have to do that with Devon. It's all good. Where can people find out more about the Plaid Horse?
You can go to theplaidhorse.com, and we have a lot of online content, subscriptions for the magazine, and we have a booth at the Devon Horse Show between the Dixon Oval and the Gold Ring, so you can come visit us when you come to Devon and see some of our new apparel, and we have a lot going on.
Well, explain to people, too, what the Plaid Horse is for those that don't know.
The Plaid Horse is America's premier horse show magazine, and we celebrate horse shows of all levels and all sizes. So, you know, we're here at Devon and we have a presence on the A circuit and the highest level, but we cover and celebrate and have pictures and articles about schooling shows and IHSA, IEA, B circuits. We just love horse showing all over the country.
Very cool. And the Facebook page is also under the Plaid Horse?
Yep, the Facebook page is The Plaid Horse, and the Instagram is at The Plaid Horse Mag.
Very good. Well, thank you, Piper. We appreciate you stopping by, and eat something good for us at the Devon Horse Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Now, you can find out more about the Devon Horse Show. You can go to devonhorseshow.net. It's right outside of Philadelphia in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Jennifer and I have been there several times. Jennifer, I think, I don't know if you're back yet, but I think you used to hunt near there occasionally, didn't you? Isn't there a hunt right there?
Radnor Hunt is very close to there, and I went out with Radnor a couple of times, yes.
Yeah, it's a neat place.
It's beautiful countryside down there. Once you get outside of Philadelphia, there are lots and lots of fascinating museums and gardens. And so if you need a weekend trip or a short vacation that's not too far away from civilization, that greater Philadelphia area, Valley Forge area, is a great place to visit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's very cool. All right. Well, thank you to Piper for joining us today. We're going to hear from our friends at Ovation, and then we're coming back with the Haggard Horse Health Report, all about roaring today. I should have had a lion roaring sound effect. I'll get one of those.
I'll go get a sound of Duke roaring.
There you go.
I'll be right back.
There. Can you do that?
There you go.
Just send it over to me quick.
Yeah. Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
All right. Speaking of Ovation, we had a listener ask on, and I wanted to ask you this because you're kind of the expert on Ovation riding helmets. We have a listener with a larger head. Does Ovation have the bigger helmets for guys?
Yeah, they do. They've got I've got the medium large that I have, and I think there's a large, extra large. And bless his heart, Chad has a big brain. Okay. I like to say he's got a big brain and he's got an Ovation helmet. So, you know, I think he goes up to size 8. So I think you are
his head is almost a size 8. So I think you can go. I'm looking online right now just to see what the sizes are for their helmets. But if I'm a medium large, because, you know, you can pick two sizes because they have those twisty dials. And so you can check it out and look at, see if they have a large, extra large. Let's see. I'm looking. Talk amongst you.
Yeah, I don't. I just trying to remember if they did or not.
I see medium large, but that one fits Chad, and he's got a big brain.
And that still has the twisty on it?
It has the twisty. The Ovation Schooler helmets have that. I don't know about the rest of the helmets because I don't have any more besides those, but they have the metallic Schooler ones, which I really want the blue metallic one. It's so cool.
She'll be ordering a new helmet here shortly.
Dang it, now you got me online shopping. See?
Hey, I did want to mention, too, before we get to our next guest, that you remember the post office, because it's the year of the National Park Service. We're celebrating the centennial of the National Park Service this year. And, of course, something that we talk about and a lot of our listeners have actually gotten ponies from is the Assateague Pony Swim every year. And they adopt so many of them out. And we've had listeners on who have been there and just gotten their ponies. Well, this year, they're doing a special stamp. The post office has issued a special Assateague Island National Seashore stamp. And it's a special edition of their forever stamp, and it's going to be available this week if you want to collect some. If you want to get a book of them and keep them or put them wherever, it is this week that it's coming out. And they're coming
out. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So can you just buy these anywhere, or do you have to only... Okay, so I always, when I buy stamps, I go to the post office. It's like the one thing we have in my tiny little town is a post office. And I always go they always want to sell you forever stamps. And I always say, let me see what you got. Give me the book. Like, I'll buy everybody right now and all my bills are getting Johnny Cash stamps. So there was like a Johnny Cash stamp that came out. And so now I've got to go back and find the Assateague Island stamps.
Well, cool. We live in Ocala, which is the home to a lot of senior citizens. And apparently senior citizens still use the post office because the line is always 30 deep. So we always end up buying our stamps at the grocery store, and they don't have much of a selection there.
Well, if you want me to send you a Paul Newman stamp, I have
one. Okay, yeah, do that.
Also, Maya Angelou, I have some of those too. So now I'm the kind of thing. I go to the post office with those old people, okay? That's how I roll. It's closer than the grocery store.
Well, the photograph that was done for this stamp was taken by Tim Fitzharris of Fayetteville, Arkansas. And he is the one that took the photo and submitted it, and they actually used it. It's a very serene picture of the ponies at Assateague.
Okay, so it says June 2nd it'll be issued. So maybe if I go at the kind of like mid-month, I'll get it.
Yep.
Cool. Right. So your Christmas cards will have ponies
on them. That's what I was thinking. Everybody should go out now and get the pony stamps for Christmas. All right, let's do our horse health.
Okay.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And I love that we're taking questions from listeners for this segment, because this is a great one, and I love her actual email that she sent in to us because it makes fun of Glenn. So first,
hey,
we'd
wait a
like
minute,
to,
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Dr. Margot Markwell, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm good.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now tell us first, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I work at Haggard in the equine surgery department. I'm recently board certified in large animal surgery.
Congrats.
And that's pretty much it. I'm from California, and I have a horse, and yeah, work in Kentucky and soon moving to Australia. So.
Whoa. First of all, let's go back to the board certified. Congratulations. That's amazing. That's for those who don't know, board certified is not easy to get.
No, I mean, it's a process and takes a lot of studying and time.
Wait a minute. Have a big brain.
Dr. Markwell, you're supposed to say the answer to that question when Jamie says it. You're supposed to say, that's right. It was a pain in the ass. That's the answer to that question.
And I'm a big deal.
That's right. And I deserved it.
I never would force anyone to do it because you're right. It is a pain in the ass.
See, that's the right answer. I got to teach. We got to get you some media training here. Yeah. You got to build yourself up.
I'm awesome. Now, why are you moving to Australia? That sounds amazing.
I'm married an Australian, so I'm moving to Australia. That is.
Oh, did you marry like a hot Australian cowboy or polo player?
No, he's actually a veterinarian as well, an equine surgeon, as well as I am. So we found a job at the same practice. So moving down there.
Okay, so that's all the girls in the audience are now getting sick. You're a veterinarian. Yeah. You married a hot Australian veterinarian doctor. They're all getting sick right now.
Okay. All I see is that she just married Jim Craig and they're going to be galloping down the mountains of Snowy River together and then performing surgery to save the horse. That is the cutest thing ever.
New movie. I see a new movie sequel.
Oh my God. I love it. Part three. Well, Dr. Markwell, we had a question from a listener and I'll read the question and then you can talk about it. It says, Dear HRN, Horse Radio Network, I have a question for the horse sales segment. I am getting a horse that is a roarer. What is a roarer? Is it the same as heaves? Are there any special feeding or care protocols for a horse with this condition? He's a 19-year-old retired reiner that will be a pasture pet and an occasional pony ride horse. Thanks. I just love the health segments, especially when Glenn is all grossed out.
Hey, wait a minute here, Pam.
I love it. I love it. Now, this is wonderful because I have a 22-year-old roarer, 21-year-old roarer, and it's going to be super interesting to hear what you have to say. So let's take the first question. What is a roarer? And how can that be any harder to say? Carry on.
Roarer, yeah. So I guess she's just described, we usually... layman terms is roar because that's the noise that the horse makes. So that's just turbulence. So airflow, when they breathe in. So inspiratory is when they breathe in, causes of a noise that sounds like roaring. And that is due to a decreased, you know, airflow dynamic from usually, they have what's called, well, everyone has it, but, they're arytenoids. They have laryngeal hemiplegia. So that means that your arytenoids, which open and close as you breathe, and they're stabilized by muscles in your throat or your larynx. They're stabilized by muscles. They have some sort of dysfunction to them. So that usually happens when you get laryngeal hemiplegia. So that comes from, there's a nerve and usually on the left side, is dysfunctional basically, and your muscles atrophy and they just can't stabilize that part of your throat well enough. And so you get a sound when you breathe.
Write that down, Glenn. Laryngeal hemiplegia. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to quiz you later.
Laryngeal hemiplegia.
I think I have a YouTube video of a horse roaring. Let's see if I can, if this is I'm not sure what we're going to get here. That's a horse eating at this point.
Hey, you might want to fast forward.
It's supposed to be a horse roaring.
That's definitely not what it sounds like. So keep that playing in the background there, Glenn. So basically, the throat, it doesn't open and close correctly because there's some sort of muscular nerve damage.
So when you breathe in, and your airway is stabilized by muscles. We call them intrinsic muscles. And one of those muscles called the cricoid.
That's definitely not it.
Well, that's a horse whinny.
Yeah.
She's board certified. She knew that one.
You went to school for 14 years.
I give
years
up. I can't find a horse roaring.
I can't do it well enough or else I would do it over the phone.
Okay, Jamie, can you do your horse roaring?
Okay, so when Duke, our dear beloved horse, is out and he's cantering around, it's like, How was that?
It was you did an okay job. I wasn't trying to see a roaring horse.
She's saying you sucked.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, you don't usually hear it often, but you'll just hear a horse that's very noisy. You know, he's not breathing normal like the rest, and it should happen when they're exercising. If you can hear a horse having a roaring noise while they're just standing around in a paddock, then that does need to be investigated a little quicker than a horse that does it exercising. Basically they're retinoid. So they're two little flaps in your throat. One of them doesn't open as wide as the other, and it just kind of hangs there. And when the air hits it, it kind of flaps and then makes the roaring noise. So as they're trying to breathe in, they can't get as much air as they need. So that can affect their performance. For high level horses, it does affect their performance. For other horses, it just might be a noisy sound that they get ducked in the show ring for. So
see, that's why we never won with him. Yeah, that must be it. So the air passages don't open up all the way. And so like I've heard it called a paralyzed flap.
One of them. So it's usually left. So it's usually unilateral. So that means one side, and it's usually the left recurrent laryngeal. It is the left recurrent laryngeal nerve that is affected and doesn't keep that left arytenoid stabilized. So it just kind of hangs, and there's different grade systems. There's different grades of do it. Horses might do it all the time, and that flap might be paralyzed completely. Some might do it transient. So they might sometimes abduct all the way, or they sometimes can't abduct all the way, or it just kind of flutters. So that's where you'd perform upper airway endoscopy to diagnose exactly what it is.
So what causes this then? What causes it to be?
It's usually genetic. So their left recurrent laryngeal nerve is dysfunctional and doesn't innervate that muscle, the cricoid arytenoidalis dorsalis muscle, enough. So then it atrophies. And if you palpate the horse's neck, usually how you would start your exam, I'd get the history from you about your horse and what he's doing, et cetera. Then I'd palpate the throat, and you can feel, it feels like a knuckle because all those muscles on just the left side have atrophied and they're just not stabilizing their arytenoid as they should. And then I'd perform an upper airway endoscopy and see. Sometimes the gold standard is now going towards what's called video endoscopy. So there's several different units out there, but we actually put a scope that stays in your horse's nose as you're exercising it. And then we can watch him see exactly what he does as you're galloping. You know, they either have backpack systems or they go on the saddle pad. So then that goes electronically to a little handheld thing that little screen that you would be, oh, it's a wireless system that you'd watch, and you'd see it and record it on videotape, so you can put it in slow-mo and see exactly what's going on dynamically as the horse is exercising.
And so, this is important for you guys in Kentucky because this would prohibit a racehorse from performing.
Yeah, this is for your usual, you know, if this woman if Pam is using her horse just to do pony rides, this shouldn't affect him as long as he is actually a true roarer. But a racehorse that races, I think it's up to a half mile, it will decrease their performance by 50% sometimes. So
50%.
That is important.
And then a horse like the one that I have, we use him just for lessons. But once he starts roaring a lot, I always tell people, you know, that it happens usually when he's been cantering for a while. And I'll just tell him, okay, he's had enough. Is that sensible? Yeah. Should I not have people on him? Please don't tell me that.
There's lots of like 2-star, 3-star horses that probably cantered around fine. And then when you start, you know, pushing them, going to a 4-star, that's when they start seeing effects of it. And then also in the hunter ring, if they're very noisy, draft horses actually have a high prevalence of being roarers. So like pullers, like those you know, those draft horse teams that pull heavy things in those competitions, they can be affected by it. So it just kind of depends on what your horse's use is and what you want it to do. And then if they're noisy too, some people don't like that, and there's different surgeries you can perform if you're just worried about the noise that they're making.
So Glenn, basically I'm not going to be able to run Duke in a 4-star. We're not
no
going to
Rolex.
Rolex
for you.
Is what I mean. I know. We had plans. So, well, dashed. So there is something that can be done, right? I mean, there's a surgery for this condition, correct?
There's lots of different. It's really well studied, but we still don't always understand it. We understand the condition, but people are constantly like studying different implants, different techniques. If you know, take away, which you can do a ventral cordectomy and take away the vocal cords and the saccules, and then you put a prosthesis in, the different types of prosthesis you can put in. You can put in just sutures. You can put in, they have zip ties. They have metal anchors. There's what's called, so I guess the surgery that you're thinking of is prosthetic laryngeoplasty. So that's when they a tie-back surgery. So they use a suture, a strong suture, and they basically mimic the muscle, the CAD muscle, and they tie it from the cricoid, which is a part of the cartilage in your throat, to the muscular process. And that holds the arytenoid up in an open position so that they're able to get more air in and increase the size of the air opening, which we call the rimaglottis. So,
is there negatives to that? I mean, because it doesn't close.
Yeah. So you have to feed them on the ground so they don't get aspiration pneumonia. Sometimes they can be tied too far up. So then they have more problems with aspiration pneumonia. They might get dysphagic, so not be able not to swallow properly. And then they might, what was the other thing? They might cough a lot. Yeah. And then you can undo, like, usually it's two sutures that are placed. So you can like undo once, go back to surgery and undo one of those if they do have a problem with it.
It sounds another super cheap and affordable.
No, I don't. It's not that expensive of a surgery. Another one is they can either laser the vocal cords. So just take out the saccules and the vocal cords and just increase the diameter of the airway. And that will decrease the sound that they make. So that sometimes sport horses, we might try that first. And then you can either do that standing as a laser procedure and just laser those cords out, or you can lay them down and perform a laryngotomy. So that means going into their throat and just snipping them out with some scissors. And then they also do, this isn't commonly done, but you can try to reinnervate the muscle, and you place a neuromuscular pedicle graft on that muscle. But that's usually for younger horses, and it takes a long time to see its effects. So most people go with prosthetic laryngeoplasty, especially for the race horses, because they do need that to perform at that high a level.
So when I was galloping race horses at Keeneland, there was a guy, the trainer I worked for had a roarer. And he told me that the horse roared because he was training up in, I don't know, Pennsylvania or somewhere in the snow. And that he bought him from somebody who made the horse have a paralyzed flap because it was training in severe cold weather. Is that ridiculous or is that possible?
I haven't read any correlations between cold weather.
Okay.
And roaring.
Good to know. I kind of always thought that guy was full of it. So question answered. I mean,
there's always that one N of one that happens there, that 0.0001% chance, but usually it's genetic. Some people say that you could get it if you give a bad IV injection. So that's why some people only inject on the right side of the neck, because the recurrent laryngeal nerve runs along the jugular vein, right in that jugular groove. If you're giving IV injections, so let's say you get something out of the vein and it causes an irritation and that muscle and that nerve is affected. But that's like a very small percentage of roars are created that way. Usually it's like only 6% of them have, you know, non-genetic basis for becoming roarers. So.
Gotcha. But well, so since we're running, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say the next question was, is it the same as heaves? And obviously, since we're running out of time, you can just go ahead and say no. Right.
No, it's not. It's not the same with heaves. I would tell Pam that she probably should get her horse looked at by a veterinarian and have them scope it, listen to its lungs, listen to it breathing, et cetera. That would be the first. That would be the first step for Pam.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, wonderful. Yeah. How long do we have yet? Because I know we've had you on before. How many more times can we get you on before you move to Australia with Jim Craig?
Jim, who, I don't even know who Jim Craig is.
You have never seen.
Yes. The man from Snowy River, you girl.
Is
I
that
just
his
got
name?
To, yes, of course it is.
I watched his name, but I just never knew his name. I just remember the horse going over the cliff. That's the only thing that stays in my mind from that movie.
Well, you got to watch it. I think they require it. There's a test on the pass when you get to customs. So,
yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. At least for a horse chick. Great. Well, so how long till you and Jim Craig move to Australia?
Me and Jim Craig move the end of June.
Oh, well, congratulations. What part of Australia are you going to be in?
Actually, near where they filmed that movie. It's I'm 2 hours north of Melbourne.
Oh,
it's
my
called
gosh.
The Goulburn Valley. So.
Well, Australia, New Zealand is now our second or third on most shows, largest listening audience. So we have a lot of listeners there, and they're going to be getting a good new vet. Now, will you be able to practice down there, or do you have to retest or what?
Nope, I'm all licensed in Australia. Yep, good to go.
Yay! Well, very good.
More,
is there a name of the practice?
She had to do paperwork she had to do after board certified.
The practice is called Goulburn Valley Equine Hospital, but I'm sure our PR lady will kill me if I don't mention Haggard Equine.
Yes, right. Well, no, and we love Haggard, and we have him on every week. But you are moving, so I just thought I'd give a plug.
Yeah, I'm moving. Yeah, no, that it's Goulburn Valley Equine, and it's it's in Shepparton, Victoria. So,
and will you be taking any horses with you, or are you just taking Jim Craig?
Just Jim Craig. My husband, actually, his family breeds camp draft horses, so Australian stock horses. So they have a lot of horses.
You're always going to have something
they have
to
about
ride.
20 horses.
Those are the ones that Guy McLean uses, the Australian stock horses.
Oh yeah, they do. They don't have camp drafting here in the States, but it's basically a combination of. I don't know how to, it's like you cut a cow and then you chase the cow around barrels in a pattern and that's timed.
God, that sounds awesome. You just won the lottery, girl. Way to go. Congratulations.
Just by the way, does Jim Craig have a name?
Yeah.
Harry Markwell.
Yeah. Harry Markwell. Jim Craig's shorter and sexier, I have to say.
No, Harry's tall.
Okay.
I got you. Well, listen, it's Dr. Markwell has been awesome having you on. I hope, seriously, if you don't come on before you leave, please, can we call you from Australia? Because I think our listener, Fiona, who does the Australian radio show, actually lives
near
in
there.
That area.
I think she does. I think she lives in that area. So
yeah, we can. Yeah, tell Fiona to call me, and we can work something out. We can have all the vets at Goulburn go on and stuff. We can have a little offshoot of horses in the morning.
There we go. Well, very cool.
Dr. Markwell from Haggard's right now. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for Haggard's for being a sponsor and giving us our weekly horse health reports. This has been amazing. I'm glad that I'm sorry the Duke is not going to be able to run Rolex now, but he'll just have to live in my backyard, I guess.
Yeah, he'll enjoy it.
All right, Dr. Care. Markwell, thank you very much.
Thank
you. Good luck.
Speaking of Haggard.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Hagerd offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Hagerd.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Hagerd Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Hagerd, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
It's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
That's right. It is time for the European Report. And we have Victoria Spicer with us here, as usual, to talk about all the cool things happening over in England and Europe and her home country. What's going on?
It's raining and it won't stop raining. That's all I have to report today.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for your report, Victoria. It's been good talking to you.
Talk to you next week.
Rainy season has arrived.
Well, in theory, it should be the height of summer, but no. And apparently it's just London that's raining and the rest of the UK is warm. And so we're all complaining about it in the south because we're meant to get the best weather. It's not fair.
One of our auditors is traveling in Ireland and Scotland and posting 1,000 pictures, and it looks beautiful up there.
Oh, see, everywhere else apart from down here. And it's the Epsom Derby this week, so we need it to dry up. It's not good.
Now, can we please, before we start here, just mention, can you please tell everybody in Rome over the weekend in the big show jump there, what country and what individual won the most money?
I'm not sure, to be honest. That sounds complicated.
That would be McLean Ward and the United States. Just
very good. Yeah, okay. Just, did he win the Grand Prix in Rome?
Yeah, he won 4 of the five stars. So,
see, that's very impressive, and that's great. But also, the British won the Nations Cup and beat the USA. So, sorry, we didn't let it happen. We didn't let you have it all your own way.
Yeah, but I think he won more money than the British team.
Yeah. He probably did, especially when you have to split it 4 ways.
Hey, we don't often get a chance to bust on you for beating you for anything. So we have to take the opportunity when we get a chance.
You came very close in the Nations Cup, though, that you were only 8 faults behind, and it could easily have been the other way around. So, you were a bit unlucky there.
Did
you
know she always has to show us up, Jamie? Did you know?
I know.
That's just like that, you know?
Sorry.
She has her own new show coming out on the network, which I saw an ad for the other day. And she has her own new show coming out, and our head's all big, and, you know.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, the fame has gone to my head.
Now, you're not actually in the show, but you're producing the show, right?
You might see me roaming around in the background getting into shot because it was like a training camp. So you couldn't kind of make it to like a studio. You had to have horses and people and helpers and camera crews in the background. There was just no other way of doing it. So
what's the name of the show? Gormless. Give everybody the name again.
It's called the Blue Chip All-Star Academy.
And when does it start?
It starts on the 12th of June, so quite soon. And we've been saying it's like a cross between The Apprentice and Pony Club Camp.
And it's horseandcountry.tv if you're over there, or if you're in one of the countries, Australia or Europe, that gets horseandcountry.tv, you'll be able to watch that. I got to tell you, Victoria, they're filming a podcast documentary over here, and they showed up with a film crew. They wanted to do the Horse Radio Network because we're so cool. And
of course.
Yeah, of course. And they showed up, and my God, video is a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how you do it. It's like hours to set up the stupid lights to make me look good. I realize it's hard to make me look good, but it took hours.
I'm not even sure we go to that much effort. I'm going to the show next week to do a bit of filming, and I asked if I could have accreditation, and they said how big was my crew, and I had to reply being like, it's me. It's just me. I am the lighting, filming, camera person, presenter, producer, director, sound engineer, everything. That's me.
And they turned you down because they thought, there's no way.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
No way. That she's making this up.
They should know by now. But yeah, no, we're not sending a full screen production unit. It's just me.
it is kind of. They had a drone doing. They actually filmed Jennifer and I out riding in the field, and they did drone. Well, and all of that was really cool. I gotta say, it was really cool.
Yeah.
Do you use drones now?
We did on this new show, Blue Chip All Star Academy. So we've got drone shots in the introductory sequence, which you can watch on our website at the moment. But I guess you do have to be a little bit careful with them around horses.
Yeah, we learned that.
Frighten them. Oh dear! What happened?
I was driving the cart, and Scooter was driving. Scooter has a little bit of what we call BBs. He has a baby bolting problem. And he was fine. We walked him around the drone, and then we drove him around under the drone with then I had the cameraman who was a city boy who had never, a kind of a hip hop guy who had never been in a cart or seen a horse before. And the other guy decided to get the drone a little low, and Scooter didn't like that and kind of did one of his baby bolts with the cameraman holding on for his dear life. Yes.
Oh dear. Oops.
I don't know that he wants to be around horses ever again, or ever will get my card again. But
you've put him off for life. Oops.
That's right. I don't listen to rap music either, so we're even.
You're fine.
What about the story about the World Organization for Animal Health?
Yeah, now they've released a new set of standards for working horses and ponies and donkeys. So this is the charity, The Brook, which I think has got a big presence over there in the States as well. And so they're now campaigning to make sure these standards are adhered to. But it's a little bit complicated because it's not legally binding. So it's kind of up to The Brook to monitor this. So they've done some amazing work getting it recognized, but it will be interesting to see whether it will be making a real difference to those lives of those working horses.
And we're not talking rocket science here. The recommendations include providing food and water, shelter, preventing and treating disease, handling behavior, and general workload. I mean,
yes.
This is pretty basic stuff.
It's true. And then The Brook's really good for that. I've always sort of said to non-horsey people that it was a good charity because it teaches people that if they look after their horses, they'll get, and their donkeys, they'll get a better working life out of them, which will bring them more money and keep them fed. So it's all about how horses can improve the lives of humans if they're better looked after. So they've done some great work, and hopefully this is a new dawn in terms of protecting horses and donkeys around the world.
And they do good work. We've been in contact with them several times and had them on the show here several times. And they're really expanding their efforts in the United States to get the word out. Was the Brook European to start?
I think it is set up by a British person.
That's what I thought,
Yes, they've certainly been around here for a long time and are one of many sort of major charities that we have over in the UK.
All right, very good. And then leading Laura's team up to the win in Madrid. What's that about?
Yes, you know, I'd like you to take it back. I always sort of try and outdo you, because here we have top British female rider and one of the top American female riders, both called Laura, who teamed up to win at the Global Champions League in Madrid. I don't know if you guys have been following this new competition, but it's part of the Longines Global Champions Tour series, which obviously just goes around the world in ridiculously glamorous locations.
To remind everybody, they're the ones that did the beach at Miami Beach, on the beach.
That's the one. Yep. And at Miami, it was actually the first time they held this team competition. And they've basically named the teams after the legs, but then selected the riders to go into them. And they've done it really well. Like, they've made sure that you have to have a young rider in your team, and they've kind of mixed it up a bit. So Laura Rennick and Laura Kreit were paired up. So it's always two riders per team, although there's five to choose from, if that makes sense. And they were competing as Rome Gladiators, and they won. So very impressive.
There you go. And I noticed they were wearing very, very Italian-looking colors.
I mean, that's part of the thing of this team competition, is you don't wear your official jackets and you wear a team outfit to kind of get people supporting the sport a bit more and understanding it. And apparently, you know, even if you're not particularly horsey or don't really follow show jumping, apparently people are kind of supporting their home nation. So it's getting the crowds going, and everybody wants a home win, obviously, for their team. So I think it's been pretty popular, certainly with the riders.
Now, your friend Jenny Rudel got to
let me jump in here and say that I don't know what this girl did to sell her soul to the devil, but I want in.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? So, yes, I think we talked about this last week, how Jenny got offered a ride in Leonidas, who is the second-ranked horse in the world in eventing last year. And now you can see for yourself, so you can watch the first few minutes of the programme, and Mark indeed does give his top horse to Jenny to go for a ride.
Have you been watching it drooling there, Jamie?
The write-up on this is like, in this new series, presenter Jenny saddles up and heads out for a ride with various stars from the horse world. In episode 2, she goes out with basically Sir Mark Todd just for a ride. Like,
yep.
What did you do to win the lottery?
How do you do that?
Yeah, she gets in everywhere, does Jenny. So very lucky girl. And I think it's a really fun program to film, and that's showing on the channel now.
Cool. Very good. And then you had one more, the 1966, you call them Darbies, the 1966 Darby.
We do. So it's coming up this Saturday, obviously the one of the classics, the classic race for three-year-olds in Britain.
It's kind of like our Kentucky Derby, right? Your Epsom Derby.
Exactly, yep, yeah. Okay. And it's part of the Triple Crown and that we have over here. And I live on the doorstep of Epsom, so I'm really excited about it. It's the only race meeting in the year I just walk to, and it's really fun. And one of the great things about Epsom is, like, it's a proper little microcosm of society, because you get 100,000 people there, and most of them are just in the middle of the race course. They've only paid like a few dollars to get in, and they're kind of there with their fairground rides and on their open top buses and just having a great time. And then you have the grandstand, which is a little bit more dressy but still quite laid back. And then you have the queen's stand, where everybody has to wear morning suits, so top hat and tails for the men and hats and fascinators for the ladies. And then above that you have the queen in the royal box. So in this one little area you have every single section of society. It's quite funny. And this video is going back to 1966, so 50 years ago. And not much has changed. It looks exactly the same. Everybody's still dressing the same. And hopefully there'll be less umbrellas this year as there were in 1966.
But it looked cold and wet on this when I was watching this race. It looked very cold and wet.
Yeah.
Now, I assume, like the Kentucky Derby, there is no alcohol consumed at all at this event.
Yeah, everybody has their champagne and Pimm's, and everyone in the center of the course that are in the sort of cheap tickets, they bring picnics. And I remember walking there last year, and there was people like laden down with entire carts full of like picnic food and alcohol, and they were trundling along the pavement. So yeah, it's a really fun day.
Well, very good. And you're going to be there. Do you have a hat picked out? Is it like the Kentucky Derby where big hats are in?
Yeah, I do have a hat picked out. I'm going to Royal Ascot in a few weeks' time as well. So I've got to work out which day to wear one hat and which day to wear the other, because it completely depends on the weather and how cold it is. And so, yes, I've got my outfit planned for one of them on Saturday. And then I'm there on Friday for the Oaks Day, which is obviously the Phillies equivalent. And so I don't have to wear a hat that day because I'm in a marquee. So I can hide. I don't have to wear a posh hat.
So who's your pick then? Who's going to win the Derby?
Well, I have been following a horse called Midterm, who is by a very good mare called Midday and out of Galileo. So exceptionally well bred, by Galileo, I got that the wrong way around, and exceptionally well bred, and parents both have form at Epsom, so I'd really like him to do well.
All right, I got that written down. I don't know if my local off-track betting will let me bet it for England, but I'm going to do it.
Don't ever take my tips. That's why I have my other half for, because he is the bookmaker, obviously. And so he is the one that gives the tips.
I forgot he was a bookmaker. And it's actually, before everybody panics, it's legal over there. So, yeah.
Yes, it's true. One day they'll make it legal in
America. Now, is it like in the movies where, you know, he sends goons out to beat people up who don't pay?
Well, he works for one of the biggest bookmakers in the country, so he works in head office. So there, I don't think there's
people.
Much beating
he
up.
Has people.
Yeah. He has He's people not, that he sends out.
That's
yeah.
right.
He's not an on-course bookmaker, but we do live next door to an on-course bookmaker, and he has a very glamorous Russian wife, and every day they're off to a local track in their car, and they like set up by the side of the race course. But Nick goes into an office and sits there and watches lots of screens, and I don't think there's any beating up going on.
Okay. So. All right, good.
That you know.
Sorry to ruin
all right.
that.
We could have stories there all day long if that was the case.
True.
No, we're going to read an article coming out in Horse and Country that like, husband has been mafia related, wife
that's right
never knew.
You know where we're gonna read it is in the Daily Mail, because us Americans, we love the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Daily Mail, I see you're getting a new house. Did you know Victoria went house shopping?
No.
Jamie, yeah, she went house shopping, and she went to Woolmer's Park, which isn't Hertfordshire, which I can never say. And it's the Queen's grandparents' old house is up for sale, and I heard you went looking at it the other day.
I'm not sure. That doesn't sound familiar at all.
Well, it's only 30 million pounds, and it has 250 acres of land. And this is where everybody has seen the picture of the Queen when she was a kid getting her first white pony.
Oh.
This is where that happened. This is where she got her first white pony. She used to go visit her with her sister. She used to go visit her grandparents all the time. And that is this. Would you like to hear a little bit about this little place that you can get for 30 million pounds?
Yes. Okay. Good.
It is 250 acres of land with 8 buildings, including the master house. Now, the master house is nothing to sneeze at. It has 8 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, 5 reception rooms, a large kitchen, a morning room, a family room, game room, and a cinema. There's also a leisure complex with an indoor swimming pool, and the grounds have 4 polo fields, plus stick and ball areas, summer and winter clubhouses, a full-size weather polo arena, and indoor school. It also has stabling and ancillary buildings for more than 30 horses. And let me tell you, the stable is a bit fancy. It's a bit fancy, according to these pictures. So, I mean, you've got everything you could possibly need, and we could come visit you. We could just stay in the wing or one of the other houses.
Sure, I'll buy it with my spare change. It'll
okay,
be fine.
All right, good. Well, that horseandcountry.tv money you make, I figured this was on the market.
Yeah, I think I'll be buying a tent in that case. Never mind. I have to give...
It's 70,000 square feet. It might be a little small.
Yeah, true. My house is much bigger than that. And I live right next to Epsom, so I can't imagine not living there. So I take it back. Having said that, despite being excited about Derby, Jamie, I've just tipped you a horse who's out of the Derby. I did think I haven't heard about him for a couple of days. Apparently, he has a stress fracture.
Jamie, mid-term. Already bet.
Oh, I lost all my money, son of
sorry. Oh, I'll reimburse you, but that sadly means I can't buy the 30 million pound house, I'm afraid. So, don't bet on him in the Derby.
That sounds just like a hot tip that I would give. Oh, it's going to be this horse. Yeah, he's not running. Yeah,
that's exactly. That's why I don't do tipping. And I can't keep up with it. I can't keep up with all the different sports.
Are you allowed to bet? I guess you're allowed to bet as long as you don't bet at your husband's place, right?
Yes, indeed. So not with them, but with any other company. So yeah,
what's the deal, Victoria? Was Tony Soprano standing right behind you saying, that's not the horse to bet?
I hope not, because I think I'm at home alone. And so if Tony Soprano is lurking, I'm a bit frightened.
Hey, there was something else we wanted to ask her about on Monday. We said, we got to talk to Victoria about it. It was something we were talking about with England. And
The queen with the things around her knees. Right.
Oh, yeah, garters. The queen, we noticed, still wears garters. Is that still a thing with pony clubbers and stuff over in England?
No, I don't. I don't think anyone wears garters.
Okay.
Apart from like old men, and when they wear them, want to keep their socks up. I don't think anyone else does. Okay.
All right. The answer to that question is no. Victoria doesn't have garters.
No, definitely not.
Jennifer still might have hers for real pony club days. Regardless, I don't know. Well, Victoria, Horse and Country TV is where you go to find all of the cool stuff. Thank you very much for joining us again this week.
You're welcome.
Will you give us a report next week on the race and take some pictures for us?
I will. I will take some behind the scenes pictures. I'll try and take a picture of the queen for you.
If you can get an interview with her, we've been trying to get that for 8 years. So if you can just walk up and hold your phone out, that'd be great.
I think I'd get shot. But
well, we don't want that.
As much as I love you guys, I'm not sure I want to die for the cause.
Wimp. All right.
She's surrounded by men in bowler hats. He look all very calm and quiet and polite, but I don't trust them.
Never trust a man in a bowler hat.
No, exactly. What's he got under there?
Thanks, Victoria.
On that note, I will talk to you next week.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
I love her.
She's so much fun. I guess she's not buying the place. You want to get the place? It's 70,000 square feet.
I do. And I was just, you mentioned the Daily Mail. So I go on the Daily Mail and I'm thinking
that
Amber Heard.
By the way, that is one of my favorite newspapers ever.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, Johnny Depp's
former future ex-wife could buy that place.
Did you see, you know, of course she's going after him. She wants, we're talking about Amber Heard, who is Johnny Depp's wife that's about his daughter's age or less. And married for 18 months, I think, 18 months, something like that. She wants $50,000 a month in the divorce and then claimed abuse and all that, but that's being disputed even by the police. Yeah. So did you see the article? She makes $10,000 a month. I don't know what she makes $10,000 a month doing, but her living expenses that she filed with the court just for her living expenses to get by is $44,000 a month.
That's on the basic expenses, Glenn. She spends $44,000 a month on basic expenses like clothes, vacations, eating out, plus, you know, at least $300 a month on laundry. Do you take vacations every month? I guess if you're Johnny Depp's wife, then you do. But like, yeah, this whole thing is pretty shady. And I'm usually immediately on the side of the girl. But this just,
well, the
I
fact
say,
that all of his ex-girlfriends, which apparently number quite a few, and ex-wives, yeah, have come out and said, we never saw any abuse. And his kids have come out and said he was never abusive to us. Now, he could have been drunk and had an exceptional moment, but even the police didn't find anything. So,
yeah. I don't know. I don't
and
know.
And right before she filed the final divorce papers. So that's a little fishy. Yeah. She wants $50,000 a month because, you know, you need $44,000 a month to live.
You know what, though? Really? Come on. Why are guys so stupid?
Yeah, well, this is on him. This really is. I'm sure he's looking back going, now, that sex wasn't worth it.
Well, see, I love my dad, but he's made some very questionable decisions on women he was has married in the past. Not now, but in the past. And so, like, I don't give what, there's like some guys that are just serial marriers, you know, and he must be one of those guys. And sometimes you guys don't think and bad things happen. And you're divorced. So there you go.
We have this problem. Being eternally horny is a problem.
It's Johnny Depp, though. He didn't have to marry her. My God.
Yeah, I mean, he could have a different one every night if he wanted.
Please don't mention eternally horny and my dad in the same
paragraph. Oh, sorry. I was trying to hope they were separated far enough. I meant Johnny Depp. That's what I meant. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, Leo has it figured out. DiCaprio has it figured out, right? Because he doesn't marry him. He has a different one every night, and he's proud of it, and he doesn't marry him.
And I'm pissed that I still never was that girl that he chose. Like, what the hell?
I know. You were standing right beside him.
I was standing right there drooling
stumbling
on him.
Stumbling your words.
Could have been me. It could have been me. I could be that girl. I'd have just a really good story.
You would.
Talk about that story on the show. Here, I can make it up. Okay, so we were at the bar, and he bought me a drink, and he put his arm around me, and then we went, no, I'm just kidding. I'll stop.
And there's her fantasy. That is not what happened. They were at the bar, and that didn't happen.
Basically, just embarrassed myself completely. So...
I still
love
that story,
by the way. At least I have a story
that
I said I was standing next to Leonardo DiCaprio.
I still love that story. It's one of my favorite stories.
Let's end this show. I can't even go there again. It just ruins my day.
You have a fighter. Look, Leo does a little acting. You have a fighter pilot hero husband.
No, I did much better than Leo. Yes. Much better. Because that locked in Air Force salary is just, that's a thing that dreams are made of right there.
On that note, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
be sure to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network. The easiest way to do that is our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. It's free and easy to use. The live show can be heard there, and all future live events will be able to be heard on the app as well. We were working on planning some others. And I haven't mentioned it in a while, but we have sponsors coming on every day for the Radiothon, so that's definitely a go. We'll be looking forward to that. We're trying to figure out who we want as guests this year for the big guests that we get on the Radiothon. So now we have to step it up from Charlie Daniels this year. We're hoping that our connection comes through for Kaylee Cuoco, but we'll see.
Good luck with
that. I'm not holding my breath on that one, but, you know, stranger things have happened. We'll see. But that's it. Let's say goodbye.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. I love you, baby. I wouldn't replace you with Leo. Promise?
$50,000 a month?